Please stand in honor of our Savior. Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading is from our gospel lesson for the day, Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Dear Christian friends, many years ago, I was traveling and was in Atlanta, Georgia, visiting someone I knew there at Georgia Tech University. This was a long time ago, as I said. They had something called virtual reality gear, where you had this headset and you could put it on, and in their case, you could see downtown Atlanta, all the various buildings as you turn one way or another. It was just all there. And it was amazing to me to see that. Now, the reason that they were working on that project was because they knew a lot of people had fear of heights. And what they could do is virtually, as you're standing there and holding onto some bars, they could take you up to the 50th floor of one of the famous buildings in town and give you a view of everything in the city. And wow, maybe it was worth getting over your fears to be able to see such sights. You know, as we go through life in the world, we have lots of things that bring us fear, that bring us anxiety, so many things that bring us down. And God gives us his word, in a sense like that virtual reality, to say, "I have a whole different way for you to look at things, and it's worth it for you to listen so that you too can be lifted up." And that's what we have as our theme today. Jesus lifts us up. Now, first of all, the devil seeks to bring us down. We heard earlier in our second lesson from Peter, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." You see, the devil says, "I have a pair of glasses too. You can put this headset on." And boy, does it give you a different view. It says that you know better than God. In the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Lead us not into temptation," Luther explained, we pray that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh may not deceive us or lead us into misbelief, despair, and other shameful sin. The devil uses sickness as one of his tools or pain to test our faith. In our lesson, Peter's mother-in-law was the one who had become ill with a serious fever. John doesn't have the exact same account, but on a different time in Capernaum, there was a man's son who had a similar type fever, and it said there that it was a fever almost unto death. So this wasn't take two aspirin and get up tomorrow and you'll feel better. This was a serious sickness. And if having that fever wasn't enough for Peter's mother-in-law, she was also supposed to host Jesus for dinner. Imagine as she felt laying there helpless and sick, thinking, who's going to wash everyone's feet before the meal, and who's going to get the food ready to serve to Jesus? No, it must have been a very difficult time. Well, she knew it wasn't going to be her, because she didn't have any strength as she lay flat on her back with this fever. She wasn't the only person in town with a problem. It says that evening after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. It's interesting, if you look through the various gospel accounts, how many times demons seem to show up during Jesus' ministry. And it's like the devil goes, let's get everyone out and, you know, all of our forces so that we can take on Jesus. Yes, in his own mind, or maybe he's trying to bluff all the people to say, you know what, we've got so many of us, and we have such great power that not even Jesus can overcome all of us in combat. Thankfully, the people in Capernaum saw things differently. Jesus had already earlier in the morning cast out a demon at a synagogue, and then in the afternoon, he healed Peter's mother-in-law of that fever, not only healing her, but she got up and she served them dinner. Things were that well. And so, of course, it mentions that as the Sabbath ended, people came to Jesus from all over the city. They were eager to get help for their family and for their friends. And they were not disappointed. Jesus healed all who were brought to him. He clearly showed that his power was greater than the powers of sin and of the devil. Of course, today Jesus doesn't make house calls. Wouldn't it be great if he did? Knocking on your door one day and Jesus is there? No, he doesn't. So we must cope with various types of sickness. We have days of frustration where nothing seems to go right. We get disappointed when our plans don't turn out as we expect. And we're tempted not to pray, but to just handle things ourselves. But there's a hymn that reminds us, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We can learn from the people of Capernaum. They did not miss the opportunity to ask Jesus for help, and he answered. Now, Jesus stopped, in a sense, one attack of the devil, one thing that he uses to bring us down, that would be sickness or pain. But, of course, he had another temptation. The next morning, Jesus had been out to pray early, and it says his disciples came to look for him. And they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. What's the temptation with that? Well, the devil tempts people to think that having popularity validates them, that it gives them some greater value, right? So Jesus had become so famous overnight, in a sense, and his disciples, hey, we're with him. We get some of that importance too. And they wanted those good times to continue so that they could even feel more valued. Eventually, of course, they wanted Jesus to rule, set up a kingdom on earth, and that they would get to rule with him. But that was not the goal of the kingdom of God. Jesus did not heal people so that he could get their support at the next election. He was God and man in one person, and he couldn't be any greater than that. There is nothing higher, no one higher than him. And yet the Bible states that Jesus humbled himself. How does the God-man humble himself? Recently, I read something from the Christian author C.S. Lewis, who talked about humility. He wrote, Humility is not thinking less about yourself. It is thinking about yourself less. Did you get that? Humility is not thinking less about yourself, but thinking about yourself less. In other words, you don't think of yourself, I'm worthless. I'm no better than a rotten sack of potatoes. That's not humility. Humility says, God has made me who I am. And despite the sin in my life, he valued me so much, he sent his son to rescue me. And so you'd say, yes, Jesus humbled himself in that way. He valued all sinners more than himself. And he came to seek and to save the lost. And we would be lost were it not for him. Yes, we think sometimes we can just have control of our lives, but that's not going to save us. Despite the devil's temptation, let us seek glory, not for ourselves, because in the end we're going to be disappointed. Let us find our value in Jesus, our Savior. Secondly, Jesus will lift us up in his own time and way. It says, early in the morning, Jesus went off and prayed, seeking God's will. And when the disciples wanted him to stay, he said, let's go somewhere else to the neighboring villages so that I can preach there too. In fact, this is why I have come. Then he went throughout the whole region of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. It doesn't say exactly what he preached, but we have a good idea, right? Words from his Sermon on the Mount. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So we are to seek to be in God's kingdom because there is no other way to be saved. We don't know the mind of God. We don't know all the reasons why things happen as they do in our lives. But I could certainly believe that he allowed illness and even demon possession to show people that it was impossible for them to save themselves. The devil even tried to overcome Jesus by tempting him during his life and torturing him as he hung on the cross. But Jesus knew the outcome. He said earlier, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And this time lifted up in shame, lifted up to receive the judgment of God, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The good news that he was preaching is that Jesus himself, by his innocent death on the cross, has paid for all sin. Jesus lived and died and rose from the dead for all people. And through Christ's saving work, it's like God gets to put on a new headset of virtual reality. He sees everyone. It's like if he's here right now and he's looking at you, do you know what he sees? Perfect people, sinless. Can you imagine that? The lens he's looking through is Christ, who is your substitute, who has done all of that for you. But what good is this great blessing if people don't know or believe it? It's like putting $1 million in someone's bank account but never telling them so that they never get to use it. How sad. That's why it says Jesus went to the villages in Galilee and later down to Judea, and then he sent his followers out to the world. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to inspire the gospel authors and other writers, so that his truths would be made known to all people. Jesus is concerned for souls and bodies. He healed people of illnesses, he cast out demons, but really what that shows us is how compassionate he is for us. We can pray to him as our Savior for any need, just as the disciples came to help, ask for help for Peter's mother-in-law, or the rest of the town came to help for their friends and family. But those healings were temporary. Eventually, all of those people died. Eventually, even Jesus suffered and died. But of course, his death offers eternal life for body and soul. As believers in Christ, we can be absolutely certain what happens as we believe in him. At death, our souls will instantly be in heaven with Jesus. And our bodies too, although they will await Jesus' return, will be literally lifted up by Jesus on the last day. As Paul wrote, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So we who live by faith now will see by sight a perfect world where there is no sickness and no death. And we will be in God's glorious presence forever. It is as his word promises. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. That is, don't look to yourselves, but trust in Jesus. And it goes on to say that he may lift you up in due time. We need more than virtual reality gear in order to get us through the challenges of life. We're all affected by the power of sin and the troubles that it causes. When our faith is tested, we can call on Jesus to save us. He promises, as we read earlier in 1 Peter, the God of all grace, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.